I'm Susie Larson. Thanks for listening to this podcast from Susie Larson Live.
It's only just a matter of
Susie Larson Live. I'm always honored to get to spend this time with you. In fact, I look forward to bringing you conversations every single day that hopefully inspire you in your faith walk, that deepen your understanding of God's Word, and that heightens your awareness of His very real presence in your life. Well, my friend Dr. Jill Carnahan joins me again today to answer your questions on health and the healing process. But first, she's going to share a very real and raw part of her own story. Maybe you're going to see yourself in it. But part of the reason I asked her to share is because I'm just absolutely intrigued. She and I were chatting on the phone recently, and as she's just sharing bits and pieces of her story, I was gripped, and I was really intrigued by the idea of inflammation, sickness, how it impacts our relationships, and why that matters. Again, Dr. Jill's not here to diagnose, but she certainly is here to help and answer questions. So you can even get your texts coming in right now if you want. We'll chat for a little bit, but then we'll dig into some of your questions. Plus, I have some leftover from the last time she was on. You can text your health and healing questions to 877-933-2484. Now, we just also have a good stack of books, random books off of our Faith Radio shelf. If you're in the mood for a random book and you'd like to be surprised, text the word book to 877-933-2484. Same number. It'll kick back a link and just sign up and say random book or book off the Faith Radio shelf. And Lord willing, you'll win and you'll get a book, just the book that you need, right? Well, Dr. Jill's fast becoming a world-renowned expert in the area of mold toxicity as well as other autoimmune issues. She's both an MD and a functional med doctor. She's an expert in health and the healing process. She's a woman of God, and she's my friend, and we're so honored to get her on today. Quick announcement before you hear from her. If you are a live show listener and you didn't know we have a really avid, amazing podcast audience and you want to make sure you never miss a show again, you can subscribe to the podcast. And if you're a podcast listener, and I know many are who don't know this is actually a live radio show, and you want to get in on more of the drawings, you can download our free Faith Radio app so you can live stream the show from anywhere in the world. Go to the App Store and just search Faith Radio Network. Dr. Jill, we love you. Thanks so much for joining us today. Good to have you back on the show.
Thank you, Susie. It is my pleasure always to be with you. It's just like having coffee with a dear friend, and I love it.
I feel the same way. I'm smiling all day because I'm not talking to Jill today.
Me too.
Yeah. So you know this. You've been on enough. We love to start by talking scripture, and I'm wondering if you've got a passage you've been thinking about these days.
I do, and you know, it's always just what's real in my life. This morning, I opened to Zephaniah 3, and you know, it's not the classical chapter you open to, but it had such a great pearl of wisdom, and this was in the NIV version. It's, cheer up, don't be afraid, for the Lord your God is living among you. He is a mighty Savior. He will take delight in you with gladness. With His love, He will calm all of your fears. He will rejoice over you with joyful songs. And it definitely touched me today, and I shared it with all my faithful prayer warriors. It was a great verse for today.
Perfect. Well, thanks for sharing that. Well, you and I were chatting recently, and you were talking a little bit more about your backstory. You were on, I think, a few months ago when you first shared your story. Many people were just captivated by it. But don't worry about overlap, because some may have missed that. But just bring us back to where you're comfortable and talk to us about some of your backstory of your health and healing journey and some of the things you know now in hindsight.
You got it, Susie. I'm actually so excited for today because this is something I've actually never publicly talked about. And I want to just start by saying that it's going to involve my ex-husband, and he and I have a beautiful, beautiful friendship with nothing but love and respect. And I have his full permission to share everything I'm about to share with you. So there is nothing between us that's hidden or that's not open. And we literally, this morning, he called me. He had been on a fishing trip with some guys, and we were just talking about what God did in our marriage and then in our divorce and how He taught us so much. And we literally were both in tears this morning. I didn't even think the fact that I had the show with you today, but what if God could use our story to help and heal marriages? And here we are divorced, but like there's this story here, and I am excited to tell it. So the story goes back to, I'm going to give you a really brief background, because at 25, I was in the middle of medical school, got breast cancer. you know, life-threatening illness. And my ex-husband, Aaron, was with me through that whole time by my side, just a great, great support and cheerleader. And a year later, I'm still just starting back to medical school to finish my last year, and I got Crohn's disease. So lots of illness in our marriage. And that actually I find in marriages and relationships, what happens is you either, whatever was already starting to unravel and fall apart, falls apart even more, or you come together even stronger when there's a life crisis, when there's a health issue or an illness. And at that time in 2001, we'd only been married about 5 years. I was 25. And it actually really brought us together. So the beautiful thing about it was that we had this really, really good connection during the cancer. In 2010, he is a serial entrepreneur, or it still is. And so what I would deal with every couple of years is, oh, here's a great idea. Let me do this now. And he would change careers or do this or do that. And he was very good at whatever he did. And in 2001, he came to me and said, my pastor friend wants to start a church in Colorado. We were living in Illinois, and I had a secure job with a salary. And he said, I think we should move to Colorado. Now, my background is grew up on a farm, family of five siblings and parents, and all extended family lived in central Illinois. They still do to this day. So for me to move across the country on a whim and not have a job was kind of a big deal. But he asked me, and I was employed by a hospital. I had a wonderful salary as a medical director, so I had a very secure position. And he said, you know, Jill, I want to move across the country. I want to help my friend plant this church. And I said, no way, but I'll pray about it. You know, with all the attitude that you can hear in my voice, I was like, no way am I leaving this great position, and I love what I do. But I did pray about it, and I do trust my Heavenly Father, and I prayed, and He very, very quickly made it clear to me through a series of circumstances, including the CEO had basically put millions of dollars into building a new clinic for me. I was the medical director there. I just kind of, you know, brought up this new integrated center in Peoria, Illinois, and I was leaving after just starting it up. But the CEO literally gave me his blessing to leave. And I knew at that moment that God was preparing the people and the hearts for me to go and to start over. So what we did in 2010 was sell our house and everything in it. And we moved across the country, and I didn't have a job. I didn't have a salary. I didn't have anything at all. I had a practitioner in Colorado that I had met up with before, and I said, shook his hand and said, hey, you need a medical partner. So all I had was a handshake. But God is so faithful, because he took this very well-known functional medicine doctor, and basically he was so generous to me in my startup, able to start a practice, and we moved to Colorado. So that's just the foundation of what we were. And we were, our marriage was one of great companionship, great faith, great respect and loyalty. But what started to happen even before I got sick with mold, which is coming, was that we started to live parallel lives. So we both, he had a great career and was helping. He was like I said, a serial entrepreneur. So he was all into planting the church and a visionary. And then I'm starting my medical practice. And in that first year here, we had a lot of time as we first started, and we actually spent a lot of time together. But then as we both got on our separate paths, we were companions and friends and great, great connectedness, but in the sense of parallel lives. I just, with people listening out there, if you have a marriage or a relationship where you're really, you're roommates, but you're not super connected, that's some of the first signs and symptoms, I would say, of a marriage that may not make it in crisis. Because what we didn't know was coming around the corner was some of the biggest health crises we could ever imagine. It paled. It made cancer pale in comparison to what I went through next. And in 2014, after the massive Boulder flood of 2013, my office, unbeknownst to me, became flooded. And I started to get sick from the mold that was growing underneath me in the crawl space right under my office and in the basement of my office. Black, toxic Stachybotrys was there and lurking, hidden, unaware. I didn't know it, except that I started going downhill. I started having shortness of breath and brain fog and lots of symptoms from the mold. I knew something was wrong, but I really didn't know what it was. And similar time frame, around a year or so in that time space, my ex-husband Aaron started to travel a lot more and become involved as he had basically planted the church and moved on to his next serial entrepreneur job as a movie producer and artist management. So he spent a lot of time in Nashville. And again, we were setting it up for the thing to fall apart. Because as I got sick from mold, any of you listeners who have heard Susie and I's last show or anything to do with mold, it's devastating. and it really affects your brain, and it affects your energy level, and it affects your ability to communicate. And what I didn't know then, but I know now, is it really affected, mold tends to put you into the survival mode. And it has a very limbic response, which means it just induces kind of a fight or flight response physiologically. So your body thinks it's very, very dangerous. And I remember just trying to survive when I started getting sick. Like all I could do was go to work, go home, and sleep. And I remember being in this state. I don't think I ever went out to eat with people or had friends over. I didn't do much socially. And then my ex-husband was traveling. So here I am in this kind of health crisis trying to navigate, and he's traveling. And in one of his trips, he got, in Virginia, got massive exposure to ticks for about 6 weeks and became diagnosed with Lyme disease, although at the time he didn't know it either. So what ended up happening in the next couple years is I had mold brain and he had Lyme brain, both basically neuroinflammation, and it absolutely affected our ability to connect and to be there for one another. And as I already said, there was some foundational cracks that became bigger and bigger, and we ended up with a divorce in the mid-2017 after both of our bodies and minds were really affected by these illnesses that we don't always hear talked about a whole lot.
Wow. Just letting that in. We're going to pause here when we come back. I see some questions coming in, and we're going to get to those, Peggy and Leah. Appreciate that. We're going to pause here. When we come back, though, I want you to talk physiologically about what happens when there's inflammation in the body and how it does put you in fight flight, whether it's mold, Lyme, or any other autoimmune. It does affect how you show up in relationships. And sometimes when people are healthy and they don't understand what it is like to walk through these kind of battles, they don't understand the mental fortitude it takes to stay focused and not react to what your body's doing. Your body, it's like trying to suppress this inner chaos that your body is throwing at you. And I think it's just wise for people to understand, because maybe even you have not been feeling well. You're not sure why. And we want to just validate that, because there's treatment. There's a way through this thing. Talking to Dr. Jill Carnahan, you should look her up. She really is. She'd never tell you this, but she's become a world-renowned expert in mold toxicity and autoimmune issues. You should sign up for her newsletter, because you get health tips all day long. Go to her website. One of her websites is Dr. Jill Health. That's where her store is, but I can get corrected on that when we get back. More with Dr. Jill Carnahan in just a moment. You're tuning in to Sissy Larson Live. My friend Dr. Jill Carnahan joins us every month, and today it's a little bit different. We're going to get a little bit of her story, just because there's something in here for all of us. And if you just tuned in, once the live show is over, the podcast is up in about an hour. You've got to go back and listen to what Dr. Jill's been saying. We've got a few questions. We'll get to those as well. Phone lines are open as well, if you don't mind holding just for a few minutes. So you can text or call with your health questions. We're going to get to them literally in just a few minutes. 877-933-2484. But you were given just a raw and honest inside look at your backstory with the breakdown of your marriage to Aaron. And here you both had some of the core components for a really strong marriage, but you make such a good point that when you start to run parallel lives, that is kind of the first death knell, because then you're not set up for crisis, because the crisis lands between you. And that's sort of what happened with him. I mean, the chances of him having Lyme and getting severely sick and having Lyme brain, where it affects his brain and his emotions, you're battling massive mold toxicity. And the marriage then unravels. I just want you to take this one more question, then we'll take some questions coming in. Talk, if you would, about, even if it's not mold, maybe it's just some other inflammatory response, that connection to our emotions, our perspective, and how we might react within the context of relationship.
Yeah, Susie, I was so excited when you said, Jill, would you talk about this? And I said, yes, because what I see all the time is our brain, we think, is like this separate entity, because that's where we think and we have emotions and things. But it's an organ just like our liver and our kidneys, and it's affected just like any other organ in our body by inflammation, infection, toxic load. And as you mentioned, I loved how you summarized the parallel lives and the crack in between, and you like it allows for, in crisis, when you're not connected, for things to fall apart. And that's exactly what happened, because we both very, very parallel had these inflamed brains, mine from mold exposure and his from Lyme. And we joke about it now, and it's really not a joke at all, but we say we lost our empathy. Now, empathy is our ability to feel and understand someone else's emotional state or their cognitive, you know, place of where they're at. And when you lose empathy, you lose your ability to really relate on that deep level that keeps us connected. And we both very similarly, because of brain inflammation, lost our empathy. So we really, and it wasn't like we were mean or malicious. I just said this morning, I said, there was not one time when I had any malicious intent against you. And he could say the same for me. But we lost our way because we had this inflammation going on and we didn't have the ability to understand. Now it's so clear. We were both really suffering. I had no idea how badly he was suffering, and he had no idea how badly I was suffering. And we hadn't built the roads of communication, the foundation to really express. I don't know if you ever talk about Enneagram, but I'm an Enneagram 9, and he's an Enneagram 7. And what that means is I avoid conflict at all costs, and he avoids pain and painful conversations at all costs. So just a snapshot of our marriage was we had fun. We were great companions. We had so much fun. We loved one another. We avoided conflict, and we avoided pain. So that was a setup for when we did, we both were in severe pain, suffering, and conflict, and we weren't able to express our needs or to connect on that level. So it ended up, we both kind of felt abandoned by the other one. And then came along a death of a friend, his father's death, my own illness got worse, and we were not prepared, and the marriage fell apart.
Hmm. Thank you so much for sharing that. I just, again, think that maybe somebody listening today is somewhere on that continuum, and they maybe can make some steps, take some steps right now to stop the bleed, so to speak, because there is a way to nurture marriage in the midst of health crisis. Another piece to just remember is, you know, I feel like I'm constantly living in the tension. I mean, I'm 85% well, but I still, if I have an exposure, if I don't sleep at night, I get bumped back hard. And so this tension of being diligent and being hypervigilant and full of self-preservation, because you can get afraid when you go, if this happens, I know what it's going to cost me, and then I know what's going to happen, and then the domino effect. And that is how you can just be so self-consumed, and you're not supposed to be. But people who live in this hypervigilance, it's hard not to be, you know?
It is, Susie, and there's actually literally, like when I look, so I do neuroquant, which is basically a type of MRI that looks like the volume of the hippocampus and the amygdala, and so I can actually see objective data of inflammatory changes and atrophy, which means like shrinkage of parts of the brain because of Lyme and mold. Like this is not made up in our heads. I can show you on paper the real effects of these things on the brain.
Yeah, you could look at my MRI. I mean, it was scary when they, you know, but thank the Lord, the neuroplasticity, you can renew and regenerate parts of your brain, and you got to be a fighter, though. All right, well, we're going to move on because I got to see a lot of questions coming in. This dear listener says, I fight constant bloating even when I wake up in the morning on an empty stomach. Where can I get reliable tests on food intolerances or what might be causing this? Is the birth control pill possibly a cause? I'm extremely fit, eat very healthy, yet I do hold fat around my waist no matter what. What do you say?
Oh, such a great question, and I bet there's a lot of people listening going, nodding their heads, going, yep, mm-hmm. I get it. So I'm just going to, differential diagnosis is kind of when we doctors say, okay, these are the kind of things it could be. So in this little scenario, there's about 3, 4, 5 things it could be, so I just want to briefly mention. First of all, you want to find a good functional or integrative doctor who does specialty testing, because I'm an allopathic MD trained conventionally. We have a great education, but they don't really teach us how to go deep and dig and find the root causes of gas and bloating. They'll call it IBS, and that's where it stops, maybe give you a medicine to decrease the bloating, but not treat the root cause. So finding a functional medicine doctor in your area would be the first step, because they can do the special testing. Number two, there could be issues with your pancreatic enzymes or your hydrochloric acid for the stomach. So there could be issues with your ability to produce the things that you need to break down food. That's number one. Number two would be overgrowth of either fungus or bacteria in the small bowel. And that can actually happen as a consequence for a reduced stomach acid or reduced pancreatic enzymes and other things as well. But if you have overgrowth of bacteria or fungus in your small bowel, you'll often have gas or bloating as well, and that can be treated with either herbs or medications. Another thing, parasites. These are very hard to test because the yields in stool testing and other types of tests are pretty low. But if you've done a lot of foreign travel or eaten on the streets in India or those kinds of things where you might have had exposure to parasites or pathogens, even if you're camping, hiking, drinking out of lakes, streams, or mountain water. Sometimes those are places where parasites are. and those can cause bloating for no reason. And then the listener mentioned food allergies. You can get an IgG. A typical allergy is IgE. That would be your classic allergist test for food allergies. But we test IgG, which is systemic immune response that can cause bloating or joint pain or brain fog that's not an allergy. And you can test that. And if you do have the foods that you react to, taking them out of your diet might help. The one last thing I would leave you with is if you just try gluten, dairy, and sugar-free diet, sometimes that will help you even without testing.
Wow. All right. I'm looking at a clock. We've got about 3 minutes to our bottom of the hour break. And this dear one, and maybe you covered it a little bit in your previous answer. Hey, I eat food that's hard to digest. When I eat food that's hard to digest, nuts, meat, et cetera, I get a bad stomach ache. What do you recommend besides not eating those foods? Thanks.
So this is a tail right into the previous question, and I'm so glad you asked that, listener, because what I always ask is, do you have more trouble with fats like avocado or coconut oil? Would that go right through you? Would you have more loose stools, maybe greasy or dark or tarry in the toilet, or you might just notice you can't eat fatty foods? Or would you have more trouble with proteins, like a steak or something like that has a lot of protein in it? Because there is a difference. If you have more trouble with fatty foods, it's more likely your pancreatic enzymes are insufficient, and you can take an enzyme to supplement that. If you have more trouble with protein and meat and heavier things like that to digest, it's usually hydrochloric acid, and you can take a supplement of that as well. So there are two different problems that could be.
Excellent. So you asked patients once in a while, forgive me if you already answered this because I'm scanning these texts as they come in as well, but do you get bloated from cruciferous vegetables like broccoli or when you eat sugared carbs? What would be the difference there about what's going on?
Oh, Susie, that's a great question. So, I'm asking about FODMAP foods, which are high in some disaccharides where bacteria like to eat it. And those would be things like broccoli, cabbage, cauliflower, asparagus, and even apples and pears. So those would be things that if you bloat easily with those foods, it's more likely you have that SIBO or small intestinal bacterial overgrowth. And if you look up online a list of FODMAP foods and all of those foods bother you, that's likely SIBO. The other side, more ice cream or sweets really give you a headache or you feel terrible after eating sugar, that would be more likely candida or yeast overgrowth.
Boy, that's really important to know. Okay. Well, on the other side of the break, this listener says, my daughter's skin issues stem from mold. Her skin is getting worse after treatment. Is this part of the detox process? We're losing hope. And she's got a severe skin issue. So I'm going to let you tackle that if you don't, unless you have a quick answer. You got 45 seconds. Are you able to answer that?
We'll talk about this after the break, but C4A is a complement split product that can raise in your blood after mold, and that will cause cystic acne.
Wow, and I wonder, listener, why don't you text me a little bit more about that skin issue just so we can make sure. I think it's eczema, I'm pretty sure, that she's dealing with, but maybe the answer is still the same. Talking to Dr. Jill Carnahan, and I see a couple of questions coming in. We appreciate you so much. And I've got a backlog of questions from last time she was on, but I want you to know the phones are open. You can actually talk with her. I know that you're shy about that sometimes, and you can call anonymously, or you can call our call screener. Pass the question on, and they'll pass it along to us. So phone lines are open. Text line is open. We'll take your questions. 877-933-2484. We'll be back in a minute. You're tuning into Susie Larson Live. You know, if you listen often enough, you know every once in a while I cover the health and the healing process because it's been an issue for me, but it's not just because of that, because lots of people are struggling. And I believe with all my heart that even though we live in a fallen world and we're exposed to chemicals and so many things, and as a friend said to me one day, life has a way of lifing you. It impacts your health, your mind, body, spirit. We're so connected. What I know after years of contending for healing and health is that God plays a role and we play a role. And there are things that we can do, choices we can make, you know, a fight that we can fight so that we can move towards health and healing. In fact, I believe we've got way more capacity than we probably realize. And so I purposely have these shows to help answer your questions. But I more than that want you to get a vision for what is possible. We serve God who's a healer. And there are times when he wants us, well, I think always wants us to be part of the healing process, to cooperate with him and take some of the next steps. So that's why, and we've got a bunch of calls coming in, and phone lines are open, text lines are open. Now we're going to start tackling as many questions as we can. So this one says, my daughter's skin issues stem from mold. Her skin is getting worse after treatment. Is this part of the detox process? We're losing hope. And she says, Dr. Troy says it's chronic inflammation. He technically doesn't even say eczema. Had 10 glutathione and 10 ozone, and it's worse now than before. Praying it's part of the detox process, but I don't know. We're also doing a low histamine diet. What do you say?
Great. So, yeah, and I mentioned before the break that cystic acne can be part of it. This is different. So sometimes when the liver is overloaded, the skin is the next organ. So if your liver gets to capacity of what it can do, it almost like spills over out to the skin with random. I remember I had hives head to toe for 2 months when I started the detox. My thought would be to back up on your pushing the detox because the liver can only handle so much. And some of us, like me, have a very small bucket that we can handle filled with toxins, and then we start to overflow. So you might be pushing detox too hard. And a lot of us, Susie and I know this very well, we have to go much more slowly and much more gently, and everybody's different. So when you have those reactions, that could be related. The other thing that comes to mind is fungal infections can cause eczema and rashes. It sounds like you're treating that, but you may want to try some herbal or prescription antifungals as well.
All right. We've got Rita calling in from Dune, Iowa. I love this because we don't take calls very often, and so people get a little shy, but all of a sudden we've got a good slew of calls coming in, and Rita kicked it off. You're so brave, Rita. Thanks for holding. You're on with Dr. Jill.
No problem. Well, I've had a problem with H. pylori bacillus for over 20 years and had three strains at the same time. And we had various drugs, even trial drugs, and they think I at my last scope, they couldn't find any. Yet my inflammation, inflammatories are way high, and I have a lot of problem with my stomach if I eat food. There's a lot of belching and pain, and it's to the point where I just eat little bits, you know, throughout the whole day. And I was wondering if maybe there were some other things going on with this.
Oh, thank you, Rita, for your question. I bet, again, there's lots of listeners that have been diagnosed with H. pylori. I actually have a natural therapy for H. pylori. Now, I'm not allowed to diagnose or treat over the phone, and I can't give you doses, but I can tell you that some of the main ingredients, and you can work with your doctor to dose these. But berberine really, really does well at a fairly high dose, plus mastic gum, plus zinc, carnosine, and bismuth. That's my quad therapy for H. pylori, and I use that successfully all the time with patients who have chronic H. pylori. Now, the thing about that is when you get an H. pylori medication regimen, it's 2 weeks. When you do the herbal regimen, it's about 8 weeks, so you need a lot longer course. But I will mention this. With H. pylori, you use heavy antibiotics, and you use multiple, and I'm guessing if you've been treated before, you've had antibiotics. There could also be a pretty massive fungal burden that's never been treated as well. So I would be sure and do urine organic acids or stool tests to see if there's a fungal burden too.
Thank you for that. Thank you, Rita. Appreciate the call. Yeah. Thank you. All right. We've got an anonymous call about Marcon's. And thanks for holding. You're on the air with Dr. Jill.
Hi, Dr. Jill. I just wanted to ask you about Marcon's. My son was diagnosed probably 3 years ago. And he also has CIRS, chronic inflammatory response syndrome. Nothing is helping. And we have tried, I think, everything there is out there to try. Just wondering if you've had any success with dealing with that and if it's actually possible to get rid of it and what you might advise.
After Dr. Jill, after Dr. Jill answers, I'm going to pray. I can hear the fatigue in your precious little voice. I can't even imagine, well, I guess I can, what you've walked through. But Dr. Jill, why don't you go ahead?
You got it. And yeah, thanks. These are such great questions. I love it. So Marcans is this resistant, it's antibiotic resistant bacteria. It can happen in anybody, but we see it very commonly with people who have been in moldy environments. And we test because it affects certain pituitary hormones, and those will remain low until you treat the Marcans. Now, I will tell you, there's a group of us, it's called International Society for Environmentally Acquired Illness. Long name, but it's a group of doctors like myself that treat mold-related illness. It's nonprofit. There's no, you know, nothing like that. But what we've come to the conclusion is there's a certain percentage of people that we cannot eradicate Marcans from, and yet they still go on and do fairly well and can get well, even regardless of the Marcans. So the first thing is, if you've been told you absolutely have to get rid of that in order to survive and thrive and get well, it's not true. I do see people that I try for a year or two, and then I'm like, you know what, let's set that aside and let's get you well regardless. So that does not limit his ability to get well. Number two is, I actually don't usually use antibiotics anymore for first line. I'll use silver with EDTA, and I'll use it for at least 3 months, sometimes 6 months, and sometimes longer. And I find that's just as effective as the antibiotic regimen. So if you haven't tried the silver with EDTA, that can be very effective. And there are doctors like myself that are experimenting with herbs. We don't have a lot of data, but certain herbs like coptis, and then also grapefruit seed extract and biocidin. These are a few of the herbs that I've tried and used as a nasal spray, and they can be very effective as well.
Wow. Thank you for that, Doc.
Thank you.
Lord, I just lift up this dear mom to you. I can hear the fatigue in her voice, and I pray you'd restore what the enemy has stolen. I pray not only would you heal her son, but you'd heal them both from the toll that this has taken on their soul. That's a trauma all its own. I just pray redeem and restore his story, his health, and I thank you that you are a God who redeems. Thank you, Lord, in your name. Amen. Thank you, Fani, for calling. I want to just wrap you up in
Thank
a hug.
You.
Yeah, God bless
Thank
you.
Thank you.
Oh, I just, wow. Okay, we've got this listener who's got chronic illness. She's from Colorado, and we don't even have a translator out in Colorado, but she listens all the time. And she's been homeless because of her environmental illnesses. And she asks, can you ever heal enough to be able to return to a high mold environment without being hit hard again? What do you say?
Oh, listener, now my heart, just like you said, I have so many patients that are in their tents or outside. It's not always, and it's not even that common, but those who are, when they get there, I mean, our home is a place of safety and refuge, and when it's taken away, I just want to acknowledge anyone who's listening now, this is so traumatic, and sometimes we're like, what is wrong with me? This is no big deal. You know, why can't I get better? I want you to just have a little self-compassion, first of all, because these are big, life-altering situations, and if it were cancer or a tornado or fire, people would understand, but with mold and environmental illness, people don't really get it. So the first thing is, I just want to give you some compassion. Mm-hmm. And then the second thing is, the answer to your question, those of us who are canaries, which both Susie and I are, and then I'm sure a lot of you listeners are, which means we're the susceptible ones. Now, with that susceptibility comes a gift. The gift is also sensitivity in relationships spiritually. So it is a gift, not a curse, even though many times it feels like a curse. But the other side of this coin is that we have sensitivity that many other people don't in the realm of understanding and discernment and other things. So it's not always a curse. But I will tell you, this doesn't go away. You don't just become unsensitive. Now, I can travel and do lots of the things I couldn't do, but it will still take me down. It's just that I recover more quickly. But the likelihood of you lifelong having more sensitivity than, say, your husband or your son or another friend or family member who's not mold sensitive is pretty high. This doesn't usually go away.
You know, this reminds me of the analogy, really, of when you talked about your marriage, where you start to run parallel paths, your lives are compartmentalized. I think the reason you bounce back quick and the reason I am getting better at bouncing back is there's a cohesiveness in your health during all the other days of the year when you're not being exposed. You're very, very connected with God. You're very careful about your diet. You're very careful about detoxing, water, exercise, all those things. And that's that thing I'm so passionate about, is like all those millions of little choices we make to move towards healing in the long run do make a big difference, don't they?
They really do. And you've heard me say this before, but this is easy stuff. Clean air, clean water, clean food. It starts there. Mm-hmm. It's not a complex, expensive mold detox box, which I have that too, but it really mm-hmm. starts with simple things, your air, your water, your food, and you can start there, and 80% of the healing is that.
Wow. So I texted a listener and said, I'll get your question next, but I want to grab the one that's been sitting on hold. Then I will get to your question about hot flashes for 10 years. But this one is from Barb, Topeka, Kansas, calling in. She's been holding for a bit. Barb, thanks for holding. You're on with Dr. Jill.
Hi. Sorry, I'm really nervous. I just recently had a semi-emergency liver transplant. I didn't know I was sick and went in. My MELD score was 26. And then when I got put on the liver transplant, I was, went in for to get it at my MELD score was 30. And they said I had 2 days to live. But anyway, so in the process of all this, I'm learning. And I heard Susie and Dr. Troy talked about statins the other day. And because of the medication I'm on, they want me on these statins. Well, it's really causing so much pain in my in every single joint that I've never felt before. My feet, my knees, my... And I was just wondering if there is a an alternative, any kind of alternative to a statin drug for medication-induced high... cholesterol.
Yeah. Okay, Barb, also I'm going to pray for you after Dr. Jill talks with you. Thanks for calling. What do you say, Dr. Jill?
Yeah, Barb, thank you for calling. And gosh, I'm sorry for the suffering you've been through as well. So this is tricky because you've got you've just been through a major medical procedure and you've got a liver transplant, and then it sounds like the medication is causing high cholesterol. So there's a lot of things that aren't like the classical case where I would say, oh, you just have a little familial high cholesterol and you could try this. The natural alternatives like red yeast rice don't necessarily have the same anti-inflammatory effect that the statin might, but there is some statin support. In fact, a friend of mine is formulating a statin support that gives the nutrients back that the statin depletes. Her company, and I have no affiliation with this, is called Even Company, E-V-E-N, evencompany.com, and they have a statin support. And it's literally nutrition for what the statin depletes. And for someone like you, it seems a little bit more risky to go off your statin, especially without your doctor's input. I would maybe recommend checking that out because the statin will deplete nutrients, and that might be more what's causing your symptoms than the drug itself.
Father, I pray for this dear sister, Lord, and again, the trauma of what she has walked through. I pray, God, that you would just be especially tangibly near, that she would sense your presence, God, that you'd restore and redeem again what the enemy has tried to steal from her. I thank you, God, that her latter days can be far greater than her former days and that you can redeem and restore her to health. I pray you give her hope. I pray hope would rise up within her and just a fresh vision for what's possible. Bring her the right doctors and the right people to help her and give her her will to fight for all that you have for her. Give her a vision of what the promised land looks like for her. And we commit her to you, Lord. You are the healer. And I'm asking just for mass waves of healing for all who suffer as she has suffered, Lord. And we just say thank you that you love us and you're tender and you're compassionate for those who suffer. We love you and we thank you for this dear sister in your name. Amen.
Thank you so much.
I wish I could hug you, honey. Better days ahead, okay?
Yeah, thanks.
Okay, bye. Don't give up hope. All right, bless you. We could do this for 2 hours. We're going to take a break here, our final break, and I'm going to grab as many questions as I can. I did promise on the hot flash one, there's also an anonymous call around toxic mold and a few more coming in. We'll do our best to handle. I'm talking to Dr. Jill Carnahan. Want so much to be helpful to you, but I want you to get hopeful because God cares about your journey, and there's a way through. There's a way through. We'll be back in a minute. Does. He keeps hope alive. Thanks so much for tuning in to Susie Larson Live. I want you to get a vision, get a picture, ask God at least for a picture of what a healthier, healed you might look like a year from now. Even in trial, in chaos, in crisis in this world, you can make daily choices. You can lift your eyes to the one who gives you help and ask for his wisdom for your health and healing process. And whether that's mental, emotional, physical, spiritual. God is the Redeemer. He's the healer. I've got Dr. Jill Carnahan on today. She joins us every month, and we're talking about the healing process. We've got more questions. What happens always, Doc, is They're slow to come in, and all of a sudden they flood in, and we run out of time. But I'm going to do as many as we can here. This dear listener says, I have had severe hot flashes for 10 years. I'm 65. I did use hormone replacement therapy for 10 years just to be able to work. Then I weaned off. I tried acupuncture, milk thistle, estrogen balance supplements, increase in cruciferous vegetables, high doses of calcium, avoiding sugar, coffee, wine. They're less severe now, but they're still every hour. Help, please. What do you say?
Oh, gosh, you've tried everything, listener, and mm-hmm. I'm sorry for that, too, because that sounds like hormones tend to be best if that really is the issue, and depending on what age, I didn't hear an age there. You might have said one, Susie. Was there an age? 60?
Okay, and we have so many.
Oh, that's okay.
Sorry.
No problem. It was in 60.
65.
I just wondered because,
okay.
Got it, okay, because that is probably why her doctor is saying around 65. There's no magic to that, but less than 65, there's more protective benefits, and then over 65, there starts to be more risk, like breast cancer. But I have put people for dementia or brain issues, which is not your problem, listener, hopefully, on estrogens at 75 or above with informed consent, because it really is good for the brain. So there's nothing that says with your doctor's, you know, communication and permission that you couldn't go back on. However, there's other things that cause night sweats and hot flashes, and I would rule out other things like infections, like Babesia is a tick-borne infection that can cause those. So maybe double check with your doctor and make sure that you don't have something else going on.
No, thank you for that. Okay, this dear anonymous listener has been holding for a while, and I want to just say you get the award for patience. You got a question for Dr. Jill? You're on the air. Thanks for calling.
Sure. So, Dr. Jill, in 2001 till 2006, my husband and I, and then my one-year-old son, and then my daughter was born, and we were living in a toxic mold house. We didn't know it, but we had it tested. We were all getting real sick, but we didn't put it together. Had it tested, and it turns out we were living in some toxic mold and some high concentrations of some other molds, and so we abandoned the place, but my husband especially still has real hard time breathing when he's around any kind of, you know, anything, you know. And I'm just wondering, I kind of tuned into the show late here, and I'm just wondering, is there anything that we can be ingesting? We haven't lived in that house since 2006, so we've cleared up our air, but we all still have kind of issues when we get in any kind of, you know, funky situation. I'm just wondering if there's anything that we can put into our bodies that could help cleanse anything that has happened to us. I don't know.
Mm-hmm. Great question, because this is so common, and it can be years and years later where you're still having symptoms. So there's two things that can happen. You can get exposed to mold, and it affects the innate immune system, causing this inflammatory response, and that can go on for quite some time. But the second thing that can happen is you can actually get colonized in the sinuses or in the gut or in the lungs with mold or mycotoxins, and then you can go to a new house, new environment, and still be carrying in your body some of the mold or the toxins from the mold. And a good doctor can kind of test and treat that, but just a few things that might help that are very simple and safe. There's a supplement called N-acetylcysteine, NAC for short. It's incredibly powerful for lungs, and that's something that I would probably consider taking for you and your family. It's quite safe, so it shouldn't be an issue. And then some of the basic detox nutrients are glutathione, milk thistle will support the liver, and then binders, clay, charcoal, chlorella, and others can also help to pull out the mold from your body. So the very basic, those things might help. And the last thing I want to mention with the lungs in particular is just like asbestos and some of these other toxins in our environment, mold tends to be very toxic to the little alveoli. So that you can have some chronic, we call it interstitial inflammation in the lungs that is residual or left over from that exposure. And he may need to see a pulmonologist to check the lung function and see if that's happening.
Okay, thank you so much. This is excellent. I've never heard anybody talk about mold. All these years, we just kind of suffered and left. So thank you so much.
Well, you know what you might want to do, too, is if you just Google Dr. Jill's name, there's so many podcasts out there of expert conversations where she's giving advice on how to detox from mold. And I'll say, for a decade, I was on an inhaler for asthma that had steroid in it. And as soon as I was treated for mold toxicity, I didn't need it anymore. I was shocked. I mean, it was just an added benefit, and I was so grateful.
Yeah,
this listener, thank you. Oh, sorry, go ahead.
I was going to say, that's my husband. He's having to be on this steroid, and he has been ever since we've been in there. So I'll look into it. Thank you so kindly.
Thank you for calling. We appreciate it so much. This listener said, can you please repeat the name of the website for the statin nutrition replacement?
Sure. You know, I'm so glad you mentioned that because I just want to give you guys resources. All this stuff is free, but it's so important if you're listening and you want free stuff, but just information. So I just looked up that on my friend's, the Statin Support. It's FeelEven, FeelEven.com. And under products, there's two products. One is Statin Support. You can look at that there. It's a great, great product to help you if you're on a statin drug. The other thing I want to mention, brand new, I think since the last time we talked, I have a YouTube channel, which means there's loads and loads of like 23 free live interviews with all kinds of experts. There's about half of them are on mold. So this content is totally free for you guys. If you go to YouTube and just type in Jill Carnahan, you will find my channel. It's all free. It's all there for you guys. And if you subscribe, that's wonderful for me, but whatever works. And then I have a free mold guide too. And I don't have a specific address. It's too long to give you. But if you just Google free mold guide Jill Carnahan, I promise you like the first Google thing you'll find comes up there and you can download that free guide. It's about 12 pages or so, maybe longer, and it has what to eat, what to do, kind of the basics if you don't have a doctor guiding you to get you started.
That's so great. This listener, the one who had the hot flashes for 10 years, said, I couldn't understand the name of the tick infection that she mentioned. Could you repeat that one?
Sure. It's Babesia, B-A-B-E-S-I-A. It's a malaria-like bloodborne parasite that is transmitted on certain insects and especially ticks.
Okay. All right. I think I typed it in the text that way. Okay. Let's see here if I got the next one. Is Lamisil, L-A-M-I-S-I-L, bad to take? My husband's taking it for toe fungus. Dermatologist prescribed it, but we've heard it's bad for liver.
Yeah, so Lamisil is in the same category as fluconazole and iatroconazole and voriconazole and ketoconazole, and all of these types of medicines are very strong antifungals. And if someone has onychomycosis, which is the other medical name for that toenail fungus, it really is a sign to me that there's systemic issues probably in the gut or elsewhere in the body, that there's fungus. I do use the drugs like Lamisil and the ones I mentioned to treat, and they can be incredibly effective. You do want to protect the liver. So what I'll do is if I have someone on those kinds of drugs, I'll put them on milk thistle as well, which is liver protective. And when I do that, I rarely have problems with the liver, you know, being inflamed or the liver enzymes elevating.
Okay. This listener, dear listener, says, I was told I have amyloidosis from multiple myeloma. I was told chemo would have to be indefinitely no cure for the heart per doctors. I've had multiple hospitalizations, so stopped chemo myself. I'm a believer. Please pray for me. Miracle from Jesus. I see a Christian nutritionist. I welcome and would love prayer. Jesus is the healer. You want to say anything to that, to Janet?
Oh, yeah. So there are some of these like sarcoid and amyloid. It's when the body produces extra material and really causes problem. I just believe in miracles because I am one, and I've seen so many miracles in my life. I was told that my Crohn's disease was incurable. I would have it for the rest of my life, and I don't have it anymore. So I've seen in my own life miracles, and I agree with you. This is a tough one. There's not any easy answers, and most doctors will tell you there's no cure. I'm not going to promise a cure, but I do believe that God's power is more powerful than anything the medical system tells us. So I will also pray that you can see a miracle in your life.
Mm-hmm. And Lord, we pray for Janet. We ask for that. We ask for a miracle. When we come to that place, it's a Red Sea moment. We don't know what to do, God, but our eyes are on you. So we just ask you, Lord. Lord, may your kingdom come and your will be done in Janet's life. May in heaven, there's no sickness. There's no heart disease. So we ask you that there be no sickness and no heart disease, no dysfunction in her body, no miscommunication in her systems. We pray for total healing and restoration. We're just going to go out on a limb, Lord, and ask for a miracle. In your name we pray. Amen. Amen. So here's a question. We're just wrapping up here, just about a minute and a half left. Leanne wants to know, does Dr. Jill do virtual visits?
Oh, Leanne, I do. Right now I've got a wait list and I'm technically not taking new patients. I do have lots and lots of free resources, and if you contact the office or go to the websites I mentioned, my regular website is just my name, jillcarnahan.com, and the free newsletter, that's why I do that, to reach the people that I can't see.
All right, and we just got about, I don't know, maybe you can direct Jim. He says, the best way to treat chronic Lyme disease of 10 years, I have a lot of fatigue, aches, and pains. And Jim, oh my goodness, I'm sorry. We just got a little bit of time left. Which way could you direct Jim?
Jim, so there are a lot of docs. One of the organizations, ILADS, ILADS is a lot of the doctors that are trained in treating that. There's a couple ways. Herbal routes can be very effective. Medication routes can be effective. But the most important thing is to get a great functional doc on your team and look at underlying toxicity and immune function. Because what I've seen in some people is if you get the immune system really functioning well and suppress the infections, you don't always need a chronic antibiotics or anything like that. But it's complex. I could do a whole show on that.
And maybe we will. Dr. Jill, thank you for the time that we poured out to our listeners. We appreciate it so much.
You're welcome, Susie.
And we'll meet you back here next time. Thanks for listening to this conversation from Susie Larson Live. These podcasts are available because of listener support. You can become a supporter now at myfaithradio.com. And thanks for sharing this audio link to spread the good news of the gospel and to grow the impact of the show. Also, if you would, take a moment to subscribe to the podcast today at Apple Podcasts or your favorite podcast player, and never miss a show.